from the epistle, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." What is freedom? That's the question for today. What is freedom? Well, it was back in 1941 that President Roosevelt famously spoke of freedom of speech everywhere, freedom of worship everywhere, freedom from want everywhere, freedom from fear everywhere. Interesting story about FDR. You know he was an Episcopalian. You also know, perhaps, that he was a vestryman at Christ Church, Hyde Park, New York. And the story goes that they wanted to sell a piece of land, and the vestry was equally split. It was an even vote. So they needed him to come to Hyde Park during the Second World War and vote. So he left the Yalta Conference and went to New York. He took the train to Hyde Park, voted at the vestry meeting, slept overnight, and then went all the way back to Washington, D.C. Now, I always remind our vestry people that if he could do that, they could come to the meetings as well. But freedom of speech everywhere, freedom of worship everywhere, freedom from want everywhere, freedom from fear everywhere. And these freedoms have been at the very heart of Western democracies. But if you walk down the street and ask many people what freedom means, they will say something like this: freedom means doing what I want, when I want, the way I want, where I want, with whom I want. Unfortunately, that's the kind of freedom that can destroy freedom. Now, if you've ever had a dog, you know that dogs want to be free. They want to come and go as they please and run through neighbors' yards and out onto the highway. So you put up a fence. Dogs want to chew up shoes and tear up the rug and jump on the sofa and sleep on the beds. But you won't let them. They want to jump up on people, but if they do, you put them away from where your guests are. Dogs like to leave little puppy pods in surprising places around the house. So you train them so they don't. If you let your dog do everything that he wants, his freedom will destroy him. No one will want to come to your house anymore. Your dog might even be killed. So you boundary their freedom in order that they might have freedom. And in the same way, human freedom flourishes within the boundaries. You know, next Sunday, of course, is the 4th of July. And you know the hymn, "America the Beautiful." The third stanza has these words: "Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law." Now, for centuries, the Ten Commandments have served as the core of these values in Western democracies. Today, people don't share that common vision: doing what I want, when I want, the way I want, where I want, with anyone I want, isn't a virtue. It is swapping the responsibilities of freedom for the little self-centered world of me. Now, When Paul speaks of freedom, when Jesus speaks of freedom, he is not talking about civil liberties or human rights, as important as those are, as God-given as those are. Because those freedoms are not enough. Back to the example of your dog. If you give your dog the opportunity, he will revert to wild behavior. If you don't stop him, within 2 minutes, he's back on the couch. If the gate is open 6 inches, he's gone. If I'm out of the house, he'll take a trash bag and tear it apart looking for anything edible or inedible. We might say that dogs are totally unconverted. The only reason they behave the way they do is because we put restraints on them. But their little doggy hearts are not changed. Not at all. What God wants is people who are so transformed that if they are left alone, if they have no boundaries, no rules, no laws, no Ten Commandments, no external restraints, if they have no one watching, they are so transformed that they are totally trustworthy. They are a solid force for his purposes in the world. They are people who do what he wants. People who do what he loves to do. People who can deal with difficulty or temptation or circumstance. God wants people who are faithful. People who are like Jesus. Because Jesus is the best picture we have of a free man. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but when Jesus comes to set people free, he doesn't talk in terms of politics. Jesus did not take on the political oppression of the Roman Empire. Of course, most of his contemporaries expected that when the Messiah came, he would break the yoke of Roman oppression. But Jesus doesn't go there. I find that interesting. And I think it's because our Lord has his sights on greater oppression. That is, the oppression inside of us, not the oppression outside of us. Jesus knows that if we break the oppression inside of us, in due time, the oppression of tyrants will give way. If he destroys the power of the big tyrant, which is Satan, sin, and death, all of the little tyrants will fall. Civil rights and human liberty depend upon the greater freedom of the heart that Jesus brings. And if you remove the gospel from the life of a society, tyranny will inevitably follow. Maybe when you were in high school or maybe university, I don't know when they teach it now, if at all, but I had to read The Lord of the Flies. Remember that story? The story of a bunch of British schoolboys marooned on an island who quickly throw off civilization and revert to brutal, evil darkness. Why? Because the beast inside of them has been untamed, untouched, untransformed, unconverted by years of schooling and social niceties. Jesus did not die to make us nice. the darkness had only been covered up. And when you pull back the covers, it's still there. That's the tyrant that Jesus has in sight. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. You see, when the gospel comes, chains are broken. Jesus comes with his grace, his life. Scars are healed, no matter how deep the scar. The past is forgiven, no matter what the past has been. Relationships are mended, no matter how big the offense. And the God who once seemed so distant is now very, very close to us. One final thought. You know, the terrible, terrible burden of earning, always earning approval from God, earning approval from other people, is lifted by the wonder of his freely given love. The terror of death that overwhelms with fear is overwhelmed with the bright promise of the resurrection. Did you catch the double use of the word freedom in the epistle? For freedom, you have been set free. You have been set free for freedom. So, free to live free. Free to serve anyone. Free to love anyone. You know, as the baptized, those of us who have put on Christ, we do not have to go back to the tyranny of sin. We can live free. We do not have to go back to the tyranny of self because we have been set free. We don't have to go back to the external Pharisaical rules and regulations as if those would save us because we have been set free. We need to thank God for our gospel freedom and for the one who gave his life for us to free us from sin. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Let us stand in the words of the Nicene Creed. Affirm the faith that comes down to us from the Apostle. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen.